This morning our exhortation will be delivered by Brother Bob Henderson. His subject is Perfect Peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's give our undivided attention to Brother Bobby.
Good morning. Bring you greetings from the North Little Rock Ecclesia and from Sister Debbie. Those that I haven't spoken to, as we say in Arkansas, good morning, y'all. That was the perfect hymn to bring us into our subject this morning. About the perfect peace and the peace that bringeth understanding. I think if we think on these words of the hymn and think of how that we can apply that to our daily lives as we face the trials and tribulations of the storms of life, then I think that we can really, truly see that how much that we do need the Lord of life to give us peace, whatever peace that we can obtain in this life. We want to start our exhortation this morning by turning to three different verses, and we're going to turn those up and read those right quick. And that's going to set the tone and our foundation for our comments this morning. Let's go to Psalms 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. In Isaiah 57, these verses that we should be all familiar with, Isaiah 57, verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We see a progression, if you will, in these three verses. Note the flow of them. The end or the future of a perfect man is peace. However, there is no peace to the wicked, we're told. And Jeremiah says that the heart of every man is wicked. So how can we enjoy this peace that the psalmist is speaking of? The reason is in this life that we live, we cannot truly experience that peace that we're told about that allows for those who are counted worthy to enter the kingdom. The true peace described in Psalms 37:37. I hope as we go through some of our comments this morning, we can see how they actually apply back to some of the comments that were made in our Sunday school class this morning. If we wish to experience the peace that the psalmist speaks of, it's evident that something in our lives we must change. We must be repentant of some things, because Jeremiah says that the heart of all men is desperately wicked, and there is no peace, Isaiah, to the wicked. So something must change in order for us to experience this true peace that we're taught about in the Scriptures. We must reverse the wickedness, the sin that resides within us. We must be repentant, which requires what first? A knowledge of what is right in order to repent towards that. We must strive towards the perfection of Christ, knowing that we will never reach that pinnacle, but that is our goal in life, is to strive toward the perfection that Christ displayed for us. There are, and has always been, a lot of discussion about the quality of peace in the world around us. And we see that in the headlines and in the newspapers and the radio and the TV constantly about the peace of the world, peace within the world, excuse me. We know that the problems in the Middle East are something that we all should be focused on, because that is the God's chosen nation, and we see the outlying of the events that lead up to the perfect peace that God has planned when His glory fills this earth. Millions and millions of inhabitants of the world have desired to live in peaceable situations. Fortunately, we as a body, and we as living in this country, have had some degree of peace as described by the world, because we have not been faced with the things that the children of Israel are facing in their homelands now. Some may have experienced a degree of this life of peace, but the majority of humanity throughout the ages have lived in times of strife, unrest, wars, and rumors of wars. And we too see that coming even in this country in the last few years. There's only one person that can ever exclaim that he knows true peace, and that is our Lord and Savior. And to me, this is the ironic thing when we talk about peace of any in the world, our peace within ourselves, our peace as described in the Scripture by the psalmist in Psalms 37. Isn't it ironic that to enjoy peace, you have to go to war? And I want us to think about that in our own relationship to our life of sin. We too have a war that we fight every day of our lives. We have a battle that we know that if we don't have the Word of God to help us with, then we're going to lose that battle and possibly the war. So to me, I think that's ironic that to experience peace, you have to go to war. Many are blinded by the falsehoods created by the total lack of understanding of these first three verses that we read. All men are wicked, and there is no peace to the wicked, but we're commanded to strive towards that peace. How many people in the world really understand that concept? As the world watches the daily negotiations between the players and the beast, we too wonder about the next acts that may occur before we're called to judgment. I think many of us believe that there's nothing else left to see before we're called to judgment. We should have our house in order. We should be getting and striving in ourselves for that perfect peace that we're commanded to strive towards. Many and most people in this world and in the ages in the past have no clue about the near future, of what God has promised and what God has commanded and what God is directing the nations of the world so that that will bring us up to the kingdom. We've been blessed to be able to see a glimpse of those wonders that Yahweh has promised to us. We've been blessed to be able to see the joy set before us and be blessed to understand that God's kingdom is nigh upon us and the true peace that that kingdom will bring to this world of chaos and sin. We know as Psalms 37:37 tells us that true peace can only be obtained through a relationship with that only perfect man, Jesus Christ. Let's go back and look at that verse in Psalms 37. Psalms 37:37. Mark the perfect man. Identify him. Note him. And behold the upright, the only upright individual. For the end of that man is peace. We have to become related in some manner to the end of that, to that perfect man, and that perfect man being Christ Jesus. We've been commanded to strive to order our lives towards this perfection, to manifest the characteristics of the Father and of the Son, because He is perfect, we're told. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 48. Be you therefore perfect, or complete, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We are commanded to be like unto Christ in this day, so that we can be likened to Him when He returns. Many of the kings of the nation of Israel were commended or are condemned because of the degree of perfectness in their heart, because of the degree in which they turned to Yahweh in their role as king of Yahweh's nation. But there are only a few instances in Scriptures that speak of a man being made perfect. Let's go to Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9 reads, let's start at verse 8. Though he were son, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Now that's not saying that Christ was born perfect. That's not what it's saying. Being made perfect after his resurrection, after living a life of sinlessness, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. The reasoning is that if we strive for perfection of character, we receive justification from sin, but we have to be made perfect to receive or achieve perfection. This implies that to receive perfection is the same as to receive eternal life. The same concept applies to the perfect peace that we are contemplating this morning. We strive for peace, but we will not really entirely reach that goal until our lives are perfected at the time that we receive eternal life. This idea of being made perfect is linked to a suffering servant who learned obedience, as we read in Hebrews. Let's go to John 17. In John 17, verse 23, we are told that I and them, this is Christ speaking, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, when that one true body of faithful believers are given eternal life, that is the perfection of the Christ body. Therefore, to be perfected and to be able to enjoy a small part of this perfect peace, we must learn from the experience of life that we suffer through. We have to learn and be able to apply the wisdom of God in order to repent and overcome the trials of the storms of life that we face every day. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Yahweh tells us that He will not allow us to be tempted and to suffer more than we're able to bear. However, every one of us still suffers the evil of the present world around us, the evil of our own sinful fleshly lust and desires. We still suffer from the effects of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We know that there's various types and levels of suffering. What our sister Joanne is going through is one type of suffering. We also suffer when we have to struggle with the trials that our own mentality brings to us, and our own sin and our own conditions. But we're also told that any tribulation brings patience. Patience experience and experience brings the hope that we are looking for and towards. Because of these things that we suffer daily, be it physical, mental, and at sometimes spiritual, the peace within ourselves and the peace that we seek with Yahweh may appear very far from us at any given time in our lives. We're constantly at war with the sin nature that resides within ourselves. Let's go to Romans, please, chapter 7, verses that all of us struggle with, as the Paul did. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me to captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this and I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This is the war that we have to face every day of our lives in order to strive towards peace that's commanded of us. During our self-examinations, hopefully that we do on a daily basis, how often do we berate ourselves because of the sin that does so easily beset us? We are always, always at war with the fleshly nature that continues to be a part of us. We're always at war with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We struggle daily, every one of us. Think back about yesterday and today, the day before and last week. We struggle daily to achieve the peace of God that passeth all understanding in this age. Through these struggles, we must remember that the weapons of our warfare are not the things that are developed by the carnal mind. It's not the defenses that we put up to try to justify what we do. It's the things of the spirit mind, as we read about in Ephesians. Let's go to that, please. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 11. As we struggle with the battles of the flesh, this is the armor in which we have, and the only armor that we can use Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the sin in the flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies or in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is the only armor that we have as we struggle to achieve peace. But it is an armor that we have to wear every day. We have to watch out for chinks in our armor to make sure it's not rusted or tarnished. We have to have these elements in order to be successful. One thing that we should always remember is that each and every one of us, each and every one of us, have lost some of the battles of the flesh. We're thankful that we have a high priest and a mediator who can intercede for us and help us through this. Each of us has lost some of the battles of the flesh. We also know that there will be other battles that we have to face in the days that lie ahead. Some we may be facing right now as we're sitting and preparing ourselves to partake of the emblems of our Lord and Master. There will continually be battles as long as we live in this flesh. Some battles we may not even be aware of. Some that we may not even have tried to engage at this point in time. But there will continually be battles of the flesh that we have to overcome. We know that all of us have chinks in our armor whereby we are wounded by the piercings of the fleshly man. There are many times that we're blinded by our own self-centered views of how to justify our own actions, by our own self-centered way of life in which we do not see the unravelings of our Christ covering. The pain and hurt that we experience usually impacts us and those around us. I mean, many of us suffer. All of us should suffer when we see those of our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ suffering. Sometimes these sufferings are difficult to adjust to, and the wounds may take a long time to heal. Sometimes these wounds seem like they may never heal. If we're not ever watchful, these darts of the flesh will come unawares, and we may find ourselves living in a constant retreat in the battlefield of life. We may place so much trust in ourselves and the ways of the world that we may think that we're invincible from these types of wounds of the fleshly man. We could place ourselves in the situation of the man that we read about in Luke, the 11th chapter. I want us to go turn to that. I think this has got several meanings, both for ourselves and also for events that may happen in the past, in the future, relating to the nation of Israel and the Gogan invasion. But let's just right now apply this to ourselves. Luke 11, 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth the spoils. Again, let's at this point just think about this in relation to the battlefield of life and how we wear our spiritual armor. We may think that we're strong when we really are weak. Do we ever do that, brothers and sisters? Do we ever really think that we're strong enough to overcome certain things in our life and in effect? We really are not. We're really struggling. It's kind of like the duck on the water. You know, it's just calm, but underneath they're paddling like anything. And that's sometimes the way I feel on things that impact me in my life. We may think that we're strong when we're really weak. We may think that we're beyond the influence of a particular type of sin, but maybe we're not, brothers and sisters, until we have to face that particular type of sin. Usually this is when the old man, pride, raises his ugly head. When we think that we're at peace with God and with ourselves, God knows the conditions of our heart and may teach us a lesson to bring us back to a more humble state of mind. Let's go to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Do we do this every day of our life, brothers and sisters? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And also let's go to Jeremiah again. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 this time. Notice the contrast. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But our leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man that puts their trust in the Lord, always. God indeed wants us to develop and maintain the spirit mind as described in Psalms 34. 34 verses 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to all of them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of be a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord will not put on us more than we're able to bear, we're told. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and our mind. Obedience to God is the only thing that brings an individual towards that peace that they are seeking. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Think about that. Think about that in relation to if we think we have any enemies amongst us. We know that we have an enemy within us, the old man that dwelleth within us. This verse brings us full circle, Hebrews 5:9 that we read earlier. To have perfect peace with God, we must learn obedience through the things in which we suffer, through the warfares of the flesh. Complete and undivided trust in Yahweh is something that we should always strive for. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. Also Leviticus 22, verse 21. Whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to accomplish his vow or a free offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Our offerings to Yahweh consist of placing our trust in the only man, in Yahweh, who can give us the perfect peace that we're seeking in the age to come. Also, 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8, verse 61. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments at His day. This is the commandment that we're given, that we must follow at all times. We all realize that the more that we engage in the things of the world around us, the more we embrace those pleasures, so-called pleasures that the world gives us. And again, think about that. The more we put our trust in the world, the more we want to embrace those things of the world. Just the opposite is also true. The more that we put our trust in Yahweh and search and seek for Him, the more that our minds will be stayed on those spiritual things that we're commanded to remember. Less focus that we place on the Word of God to direct our paths, the more rusty, the more defiled our suit of spiritual armor becomes. Let's go to the Apocalypse chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Commandment that we are to remember. It's not only written to the ecclesias, but of that age, but to our age also. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Our prayer is, brothers and sisters, that we are like these brethren in Sardis, who will be walking with Yahweh, with Christ in the kingdom when He returns. We also want to turn to Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that what? Watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Our responsibility is to walk, watch, and walk as Yahweh has commanded. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. In Romans chapter 5, we read, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A constant observance and examination of our faith, through that we can begin to experience some degree of peace, not the true, perfect peace, but some degree of peace and with ourselves. We begin our thoughts today by reading from Psalms 37:37, which tells us that peace is the end of a man striving for perfectness with Yahweh. As we allow our minds to contemplate the many places that this verse should lead us, we realize that this end product of peace can only be obtained after a long, hard journey. It's not something that can be easily grasped and developed. This journey that we travel will take us down a pathway that's full of pitfalls. It is a pathway that, if traveled alone, will lead to destruction and desolation. As we traverse down this pathway of life, though, we should remember God's promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you if we put our total trust in Him. We must remember that this is a conditional promise. We must ever be striving toward obedience and trust. Our labors in this world may be stressful and may be tiring, but we should remember the words of Christ that He gave us in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest into your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A place of rest is what we're seeking for, brothers and sisters. At peace with Yahweh, with ourselves, with the world around us, is a sure comfort and hope for the weary traveler on the path of life. In today's hectic and fast-paced life, we probably do not appreciate this place of rest, maybe as much as those in the past. However, the invitation is still open. Come unto me, Christ says, for all those who truly seek it. For those who feel like this world is just rushing by with our jobs, our lives, spiritual, at home. I'd like to read a little article that I read, and I can't remember where I got this. But it's called Slow, and I think this is something that we might even want to think about on a daily basis. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the internal reach of time. Give me amidst the confusion of my day the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tension of my nerves and my muscles with the music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magic restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations. I think that's applicable as we think of a joy that's set before us. When we are struggling with the problems of the life of our life, let us remember some special thing that we've just studied, some special chapter that takes us to the joy that's set before us. Remind me each day that there's more to life than increasing its speed. Let me look upward into the branches of the towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Slow me down, Lord. Inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of the truth's enduring values, that I may grow toward the peace that passeth all understanding. I speak for myself and maybe for many others. Slow me down, Lord. Help me to see the joy set before us. Through the remaining days of our probation, we will all continue to face turmoil in the world around us, within our families, within our homes, within our ecclesia, and within ourselves. Indeed, our battles will be certain and constant. However, the joy of victory, the joy that's set before us, will depend on how we individually approach the battleground. No one else can prepare us to mentally address whatever may come upon us in the days that lie ahead. We know that for the joy that was set before Him, Christ overcame all, truly achieved the perfect peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. We too have been blessed with the knowledge of that same joy. Our goal should not be to let that glorious vision become so blurred, so tarnished, that we can only periodically see just small glimpse of what God has offered and promised unto us. As we arise each morning to strap on our daily armor, we should remember these verses in Hebrews chapter 4. And we referred to these have already been referred to this morning. Let us always keep in mind the promise of the rest that lieth before us. Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor daily, brothers and sisters, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief. As we use the Word of God as our sword, and that's the only sword that we have, in our daily battles to deflect the blows from sin within us and around us, let us be assured that God's mercy and strength, that through His mercy and strength, victory can be secured. Let us never blame others on our inability to be strong and of a good courage. The world cannot take away our victories from us. We only can let them slip through our grasp. Recently, a statement I read that said, "Never excuse yourself by accusing others." Think of that. Never excuse yourself by accusing others. It's a good thought as we daily look for those chinks in our own individual armor. Another quotation that we should keep in mind is, "Do not lose your inward peace for anything whatsoever, even if the whole world is upset." If we place our trust in Yahweh, if we seek the perfect peace, seek the kingdom of God, then it doesn't matter what the world holds around us, for we know there is a rest promised unto us. Our daily examinations, we know, are most critical in these last days. Let us use them and approach them in the right way, not to berate ourselves necessarily because of our weaknesses, but to be strengthened in spite of our weaknesses. If we do this, we can continue our journey towards that rest that's promised for the weary soldier in the struggle for eternal life. I want to close by turning to Philippians and reading from the 4th chapter. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Chapter 4, verse 4. "And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Do we really believe that, brothers and sisters? The Lord is nigh upon us. "Be careful or anxious for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Remember our hymn that we just sang? "Peace, it is I." Let us remember that. Thank you.